So we mentioned yesterday this very fascinating idea of Eilu Eilu Dibre Elokim Chaim. In our Gemara, the Gemara is talking about what were the facts by the Pilegesh Begiva. What happened that the husband threw her out of the house? So the Gemara says that both were true. Both suggestions were correct. And in other cases, in Erev and Yud Gimel and Beis, the Gemara there is talking not about facts. The Gemara is talking about the many disputes between Bishama and Beis Hillel that Eilu Eilu Dibre Elokim Chaim in Halacha. In Halacha, so that's a question. How can it be? In Halacha, they're both right. How can they both be right? We don't paskan like Beis Shammai. So what do you mean Eilu Eilu Dibre Elokim Chaim? So the Ritva there in Erev has a famous explanation. For many years, it was assumed to be like the Sefer HaChinuch explains. And now it's more popular the way the Ritva says. Sefer HaChinuch explains like this, that the Gemara says that Beis Hillel was the majority. There were more Talmidim in Beis Hillel than were in Beis Shammai. Why is that? Because the very few brilliant people in the world, the Gemara says, Bishama were mechada ditve, they were sharper. They were smarter than the Beis Hillel. So they're the geniuses, there are very few geniuses in the world. So Bishama were the big geniuses, so their group was smaller. So Beis Hillel always outvoted Beis Shammai. But lo si lava, the Mos HaMashiach, there's supposed to be such a comment in the Zohar, lo si lava, the din will be like Beis Shammai.
Yeah.
Why? Because really, Beis Shammai are right, because they're the big geniuses. But if you're always going to paskin based on who's the bigger genius, so that's going to be a sloppy mess. The Shvache kept, the people with the weaker heads will claim we're smarter than the other people. How can you prove who's smarter than whom? So the Rabbanu Shel Olam said, Achriyam Lahatos, even though Beis Hillel are wrong, but the Rebbe Shlomo wants us to follow the majority, because under the circumstances, the world can't function if you're only going to insist on following the geniuses. You have to have a reasonable psak. So Eilu Eilu Dibre Elokim Chaim means Ali B'demes Beis Shammai are right, and that's why Lo Sid Lovai, the Zohar claims that the din is going to be like Beis Shammai. But Leisato, that we're not holding by Yemos HaMashiach yet. So in order that the world should be able to function, in order you should be able to have a psak. So Rabban Shalom said, all right, so do the mitzvah incorrectly. Follow the sheet of Beis Hillel, that's really wrong. That's what it means, Eilu Eilu Dibre Elokim Chaim. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch has, and that's what was assumed for many generations. And in our generation, I think it's more popular the way the Ritva comments on that Gemara, in Erev and Yud Gimel on the Beis. And he explains as follows: when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, and Rabbi Shlom was teaching him all the 613 mitzvahs, so Moshe Rabbeinu asked Rabbi Shlom, they're learning one day, they're learning Hilchot Tzitzit. So he said, what's the din in this case? He said, Tzitzit is a puzzle. What's the din in that case? Tzitzit is kosher. What's the din in the following case? So Rabbi Shlom says, that's a gray area of halacha, has elements of Eksha, elements of Psul, elements of Tumem, elements of Tara, elements of Chiyuv, elements of Ptur, it's a gray area, and he leaves it up to the Hachruah of the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Dor V'Dor to determine whether they think the elements of Heter outweigh the elements of Isser, whether the elements of Tumah outweigh the elements of Tahara, and so on. So that's what it, and based on their perspective, they should be Machriah. And all the perspectives are correct. From your perspective, you're right. I'm looking at the classroom, so there's a ceiling with lights on it, there are chairs and people sitting on chairs with pens and notebooks and so on. And then someone else is sitting in the back looking at the same thing, someone sitting over there looking. Everybody looking at the same thing but from a different perspective. So if you look from a different perspective, things look very differently, but all the perspectives are correct. I'm sitting over here, so from my perspective I see one thing. Someone sitting in the back has a different perspective. All the perspectives are correct. So that's what the Ritva says. When Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching him the dinim, and he asked the Baruch Hu, what's the din in this case? Asa, what's the din in that case? Mutter, what's the din in that case? So he said, has gray area of halacha, elements of isa, elements of heter, and leaves it up to the hachra b'chach mehator shebechol dar v'dor, based on their perspective. So you can have all the perspectives are correct. Everyone looks from a different angle, so all the perspectives are correct.
Why is it easier to understand Eila Ve'ila when it comes to just the facts of the case, like our Gemara? I know Rashi and Subas talks about how if it's Shrei, Amorayim disagreeing about what someone said, we don't say Eila Ve'ila there because, one, they're just arguing about what happened.
If you have a machlok, it's what the Girsa is. You don't say Eila Ve'ila, Divin Kim Chaim. One Girsa is right, one Girsa is wrong. If you have a machlok in Samarayim, what did the Tana mean? So Rashi and Tosafos say, you can't say Eila Ve'ila. Tana didn't talk out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rabbanu Shalom, what's the din? Then Rabbanu Shalom said, it's a gray area of halacha, has elements of isa, elements of etan. So then you could say, elu v'elu, right?
So shouldn't you say the same, meaning our Gemara, the Metzias of it, isn't that more comparable to what someone said, which is one person's, right? Meaning
yeah.
What happened? Nima Matzah's vote.
Yeah, it's very surprising that you say, elu v'elu over here, by Dovisham Metzias. But the Gemara says they both happened. The only question is, what was the straw that broke the camel's back? What was the thing that really got him angry that he threw his wife out of the house? Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. It's a chiddush. It's a chiddush that you even say it on Dvorim Shel Metzius. The Rabbanu Shalom said, Avyosa B'ni says like this, and Chanina B'ni says like that. The Rabbanu Shalom says they're both right. Yeah. So yesterday we went through a whole bunch. The Mishkanes Yankiv has a little Sefer Koheles Yankiv that has Chuvis in the back, and it has Chidushim on Masechet Brachas, and a little more on Seder Moed. So on Brachas, in the first Perek, it has this long piece about Eilu V'Eilu Divin L'Kim Chai. When you have a Machlek His Yochid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim, that's Halacha L'Maisa how you paskin, but it doesn't mean that the Yochid is wrong. If the Yochid is working with the Midrash alternative Reshes Pem, we say that's also a Cheftza Shel Torah. And when you learn B'Sham HaShita, that we're working with Midrash alternative Reshes Pem. I remember there used to be a Shamus in one of the shuls in the Bronx. I think it was Rabbi Chalap's father's shul. I used to live in the apartment building that was adjacent to Rabbi Chalap's father's shul. When I was a little boy, my family lived in Pennsylvania, and the day school only went to the fifth grade. So after the fifth grade, those parents who wanted more learning for their children sent them out of town. So most of the parents sent their children to Baltimore, and I had grandparents in the Bronx, and my parents sent me to the Bronx. There's a Rabbi Yochanan Zweig in Miami. He was a classmate of mine. And then for the sixth grade, he went to Baltimore. He went that route, Big Tam Chacham. And I went to New York. So remember, my grandparents lived in the building that was adjacent to the Bronx Jewish Center, gigantic shul where Rabbi Chalap's father was the rabbi. So there was a shamus in the shul there who used to put out svarim. And the svarim were ridiculous. They were all, everything he wrote was wrong. Mamish Beferish, against all from the Gemaras, everything was wrong. And he writes on the first page, he was traveling on the trains in New York City. He writes, it was a big Talmud Chacham in Europe, and he was traveling on trains in New York City, and the Goyim beat him up, they bopped him over the head, and he forgot a lot of his learning, so he apologizes to the public in case he has mistakes in his svarim. Everything he writes, they're all wrong. Everything is wrong. So you don't say, Eilu Ve'Eilu Divin L'Kim Chaim. If a guy writes Dvarim B'Tehillim, everything is wrong. Or if you're a Reform rabbi or a conservative rabbi writes a whole tshuva, pilpul. Usually it's ridiculous. They don't know how to use the Midrash alternative Reshes Pem. But here, if you're working with Bisham and Basili, you say they're both working with the Midrash alternative Reshes Pem. So we say the Shitas Bisham constitutes a Cheftza Shel Torah, and if you learn it, there's a Kiyum of the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's not like reading a joke book that you know in advance that the book is full of mistakes. No, Bisham Shitas is a Cheftza Shel Torah. But the Mishkan and Sianke points out that even Halacha Lamaisa, we sometimes say, even though B'Sham Makom Mesila Eina Mishnah, there we don't consider B'Sham Mishita at all. But any other Machlekes Tanraim Amaraim, then we would say Eilu Eilu, even Halacha Lamaisa. So we mentioned a few cases yesterday. So one was Halacha Kedivah Mekol Ba'Ovel, and it comes to Avelus. So let's say someone comes to Rav Soloveitchik, someone comes to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and they ask a shayla, what's a din? So Tam Chochin gives you a psak. He has the right to paskan l'chumer. He knows there's a machloikis in earlier generations, but he holds one way. So he can't say, but since there is a shita that's mekel, he's mechiv to paskan l'chumer. He thinks that shita is wrong. He's entitled to his opinion. So if you ask Rav Soloveitchik, what's the din? He tells you l'chumer. You have to observe l'chumer. If you always follow his psak, you have to observe the chumah. If the Talmud Chacham doesn't have a personal opinion on this, he doesn't know what the din is. He didn't formulate his own opinion. He knows there's a machlokes. So then, even though the majority of the poskim hold lechumre that there is a din of avelus, but if there's a minority opinion lekula, then it's a halachic debat mekel ba'ovil in hilchos avelus, even if it's not 50-50. If it will be 50-50, that's called Safik Avelus. So Avelus is a din derabanan, so Safik derabanan lekula. But even if it's not 50-50, you still go lekula. So in Avelus, you go lekula. Halach is never hamekel. Even Rabbi Machmirin, biyochid mekel, that's what the Ran in Kiddushin, the Ran in the Rif in Kiddushin, calls that a Safik holdahu. It's not really a Safik. Safik is 50-50, a close to 50-50. Here it's not at all close to 50-50. You see, the majority of the poskim hold lechumra, and only a minority hold lekula. So then you still say halacha k'divrei mekel ba'ovel. So the Ramban in the Torah Sa'odim, we mentioned this, Ramban in Torah Sa'odim quotes the Tosfos in Ehrimin, which we have that Tosfos that he quotes. Tosfos quotes the Tshuvas HaGoyim. The Goyim were of the opinion that the observance of Shiva is only with the Rabbanan, that's the last 6 days. But the first day of Shiva, Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa. The Torah has dinim. You're not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni in the state of Aninus. Aninus is before the Gvura. That's the Avelus Yom Rishon. So the Balei HaTosfos came up with the Avelus L'chud v'Aninus L'chud. They have nothing to do with each other. Aninus is a different din. V'achal to be Ani Mimenu. You're not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni in the state of Aninus. And Aaron HaKohen didn't eat Sirachatus the Rosh the Rash Moshe in Esorof, Aikzoif, Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at Bnei Aharon, why they didn't eat the Sir Hachatos. So Aaron explained why, and he said he made a Kavachimer. If you're not permitted to eat Moshe Sheni in the state of Aninus, you Moshe Rabbeinu, you told us the did. One is not permitted to eat Moshe Sheni in the state of Aninus, a Kavachimer Karbonus. He's not allowed to eat. So Moshe Rabbeinu agreed to the Kalachayma. So Tosfos says, that's what the Rosh has in White Cotton. Avelus L'chud v'Aninus L'chud. They're two different things. That's Aninus a different din. But the Goinim and the Ramam and the Rif, they understood from that din of Aninus that Avelus Yom Rishon, first day of Shiva is their Isa. And despite the fact that they hold the first day of Shiva is their Isa, you still say, Halacha k'divrei mekel ba'ovel. It's not based on the assumption that Avelus Derabanan. Even when Avelus Deraisa, you still go Lekula. Still go Lekula. There must be a Pasuk. So that's what the Ramban thinks that the Pasuk is the following. What is the mocker for the Shita Sagaonim? That Avelus Yom Rishon, that there's some Avelus as Deraisa. So the mocker is the Pasuk in Parshas Amor. Beginning of Amor, it says, Kohanim are not permitted to be Metamil and Mesim unless it's one of the seven relatives. Father or mother, a sibling, a brother or a sister, or a son or a daughter. Those are the six. And then a spouse is the seventh one. So those are the Zayin Kroidim. So the Pasuk says, L'chotz ha'psila shel ha'hois ha'leish lo yitamo. The Kohen is permitted to attend a funeral when his sister dies. If the sister, once his sister marries, it's like a sister-in-law. No more sister. Only shel ha'hois ha'leish, she's still single. Then he's metamei to her. So there's a machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, on those two words, lo yitamo, whether that's a rishus or that's a chayva. So Rabbi Shmuel says rishus. If the kohen chooses to, if he wants to, he may attend the funeral. He may be metamis, but he doesn't have to if he doesn't want to. And we have not accepted Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. We pass like Rabbi Kiva, lo yitamo chayva. The kohen is b'chayv to be metamis the mace if it's one of the seven relatives. The Gemara Saita, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, has three psukim in Chumash, with this machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, whether it's a rishus or a chayva. So lo yitam is one of the three psukim. The other pasuk is, what's it doing in Soita, Dav Gimel, Amud Aleph? Because in the Parsha Soita, in Chumash Bamidbar, Parshas Naso, you have the Parshas Zaita. So it says, "V'over olav ruach kina b'kina yisishtei." The husband is suspicious of his wife. He thinks she's having an affair with someone else. So sometimes the husbands are meshugana. The husband is just paranoid, that's all. We had a boy here in Yeshiva. The boy was something, he was Egyptian. And he was 50 years old. And he married a girl who was 19. And she was an Ashkenaziya. And she had chalamas that she's going to be like Eshes Rebbe Akiva. That she's going to see to it that her husband becomes a big Talmud Chacham. Husband had a shvachet cup. And he didn't understand, but I don't think he became like Rebbe Akiva. So, and he was a meshugana. So he, when he married this girl, so they moved into his apartment. They moved into, so he had, before he got married, some of his friends were staying there. So one of the friends left a jacket there. When they got married, left the jacket. So the meshugana husband was choshed the wife that someone came and having an affair with the wife. It was off his mind. Anyway, so it was a miserable marriage from day number one. So that's the shayla. The pasuk says for avro alav ruach kina v'kina yisishta. That's a mitzvah. If the husband thinks that there's something fishy going on, it's a mitzvah. The husband should warn the wife al tistrei mish plaini. It's not a mitzvah. The stomach of the husband is a meshugana. It's a rishus. If you want it, you can do it, but it's not a mitzvah. So that's a machalek. So Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says it's rishus, and Rabbi Kiva says no, it's a mitzvah. If the husband, if he's crazy, he's crazy. What can you do? But if he's normal and he thinks that his wife is having an affair with someone else, he's mukhiv to warn her. Al tistrei mish plaini. So those are two psukim. What's the third pasuk? It says by Eved Knaini, the other behem tavoidu. It says Eved Ibris yotzei b'sheish or b'yovel b'yam kippur shal yovel. And Eved Knaini is not yotzei b'sheish. Eved Knaini is yotzei b'shem v'yayin. But he's not yotzei b'sheish, not yotzei b'yovel. And it says, Leona Bem Tavoidu. So Rabbi Shmuel says, if you want to, you don't have to let him free. If you want to free him, you can free him. Gezuntahe. And we pass like Rabbi Kiva, Meshachar Abda Oiva Be'ese. If you free your Rebbe Knaini, it's a Nisa. Leona Bem Tavoidu is a Chayvo, it's not a Rishus. So that Pasuk that says, Lo Yitamo, the Kohen, is obligated to be Metami to his sister, is Labdavka, the sister, goes on all the seven relatives. That pasuk happens to be on the sister, but they're all on the same boat. And that's the mocker for the chi of kovel ameis. The reason why he's mukhiv to be metami to the sister and to the other relative out of kovel ameis. And the same pasuk is the mocker for the avelos yam rishon derais, the kovel ameis. Kovel achaim is a kovel achaim, and more so. A lot of people only have respect for the dead. Kozman people are alive, they don't have respect for them. If they die all of a sudden, then you have achrim ois kedoshim, then they have respect for the person. So the Gemara said that's not correct. Included in the pasuk, based on a kal v'chomer, is lo yitamo. You have to show not only even show kavod ha'meis. When the person is alive, there's a greater chiyuv to show kavod ha'chaim. Whenever there's a conflict between kavod ha'chaim and kavod ha'meisim, so kavod ha'chaim takes precedence over kavod ha'meisim. So that pasuk is the chiyuv kavod ha'brius. Kavod ha'brius, even kavod ha'meisim. By Jewish people, is a din even kavod ha'meisim. So the Sifro, so the Ramban says, where is the mocker that Sofak Avelus Lakula, even on the level of the Raisa? Well, where is the mocker for Chiyab Avelus the Raisa? Lo Yitama. So in that Pasuk, in that Parsha, Lo Yitama, the Kohen is permitted and obligated to Mimbatami to design Kareiz, but the Sifro has a mock, has a drosha on one of the Psukim. Lo Vilim Alach Velachos Alach Hapsulo Shalohai Selish and so on. So the Sifro says, Imo, you know for sure who the mother is. The doctor who delivered the baby, this baby bounced out of her rechem, so that's for sure. Who the father is, but not always so sure. Maybe someone else is the father, but the mother is always for sure. So the Sifro says on that pasuk, the imo, just like imo is vadai, so too all of the seven kroivim have to be vadai. Whenever there's a suffix, so the whole din of tumas kroivim doesn't apply. The mitzvah doesn't apply. So the Ramban says that's the mocker. That Sofik Abelis Lakula. Abifarish and Pasuk, even though usually Sofik Daraisa Lakumra, but Sofik Abelis Lakula. It's Abifarish and Pasuk. So since it's Abifarish and Pasuk, we assume even a Sofik Koldu, even if it's Yochid Keneged Rabbim, we still say Alochid Devam Ekel Ba'olam. It's interesting, the Mishkan as Yankiv didn't have a Ramban Torah Saladim. The Ramban was printed by Rabbi Zalman Meltzer in Europe. He did before, until recently, the Ramban was Rabbi Zalman Meltzer died a long time ago. From my perspective, it was just printed a few years ago. From your perspective, it was printed a long time ago. So the Mishkan Sakya didn't have a Ramban, but he felt that it has to be a Pasuk, so he figured out which Pasuk he guessed the right Pasuk. He said the same Pasuk. Lo yitama is the Chi of Avelus, and the Sifra learns out from the Pasuk. Imo, Ma'imo Vadai, so the others have to be Vadai. And he's right, that's now that we have the Ramban, it's printed, that's what it says in Ramban, that's the Makkah for this idea. That even if it's Yochid Keneged Rabim, the majority opinion, it's not really a Suffolk. It's a Suffolk Holdu. A Suffolk would have been if it would have been 50-50. It's nowhere near 50-50. Still, a Suffolk Holdu, you say, Elu Ve'elu Divili Kim Chaim. So that's enough to be considered a Suffolk Holdu. Then the din is by Suffolk Orla B'chutz Loretz. The Pasuk in Chumash and Parshas Kedosh and Molin says, Kisavoyal Horetz and Itaitim Kolaitz Michael. That's only Orla Beretz Yisrael. Orla B'chutz Loretz is not a Pasuk. So the Gemara says that it's Halacha, and the Gemara has Mishnah. The end of the first parak in Dushan says, Orla B'chutz Loretz may Halacha, and some Achlokes in the Gemara. What does it mean, Halacha? Halacha means Halacha Moshe Mesinai, or Mehilchas Bendina. Maybe it's only made the Rabbanan. So most of the Rishayim assume that it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. And the Gemara says, if it's a Suffolk, or lo b'chutz loretz l'kula, why? But Allah HaMashim Messina has a din deraisa, so why isn't it covered with the din of Suffolk deraisa l'chumra? The Gemara says, kach nemra halacha. That was part of the Allah HaMashim Messina. That or lo b'chutz loretz is also, but Suffolk garla is mutter. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs attacks the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that Sofik and not only Sofik Orla B'chutz Loretz is Lekula, every Sofik and Halacha Moshe Mesinai is always Lekula. So Ramban disagrees and he says the Rambam made a mistake, it's only Sofik Orla B'chutz Loretz. It doesn't apply to every single din that's based on Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Where is this Rambam that the Ramban is attacking? He attacks the Rambam. Where is the Rambam? He doesn't tell you where the Rambam is. Where did the Rambam say that every halacha Moshe Mesinai is tzveika l'kula? So there's a sefer that was written in the 1700s by one of the Al-Ghazi family, not by the Marit Al-Ghazi, someone from the family. So he has a sefer, Ara de Rabbanan. He has a sefer, an encyclopedia. That's when the Jews started writing encyclopedias in the 1700s. The Chidor wrote a few encyclopedias. Encyclopedia of Kabbalah, Encyclopedia of Midrashim, Encyclopedia of Midrash HaTorah and Midrashim, all kinds of encyclopedias. So this Al-Ghazi wrote an encyclopedia, alphabetically arranged, what dinam are there, Raisa, what dinam are there, Rabban? Let's say Aleph, Asmachta Lokanya, is that a din there, Raisa, Rabban? So he shows Machlokes, he tells you where. What else Aleph? I don't know. Aleph, basically, every letter of the alphabet. Yesh brera, ain't brera. Is it a din deraisa? What's a din by a din deraisa? Well, the yesh brera, ain't brera. Every single issue that there's what to discuss, he discusses whether it's deraisa or the rabbanon. And then he has footnotes on the bottom of the page. The sefer is called Ara de Rabbanon, and the footnotes on the bottom are called Afra de Ara. Interesting title, Afra de Ara. The dust on the bottom. So he tells you where the Rambam is. Where is the Rambam that the Ramban is attacking? He says it's a Rambam in Hilchas Mikvois. That the Rambam quotes a Mishnah that if someone was toivel a Mishnah Mikvois, somebody was toivel in a mikveh, Sofik Yeshbo Memso, Sofik Yeshbo Memso. The din is that a mikveh needs Memso. Mora says, sounds like it says Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So the Mishnah says if someone was toivel, a Tommy was toivel in a mikveh, Sofik Yeshbo Memso, Sofik Yeshbo Memso. So it says that he's tummy. You go to Chumra, he's tummy. So the Rambam quotes the din, and he asks the kasha, and he gives a teretz, all in a half a sentence, from Mashma. The Rambam is asking, but it should be the whole need from them, so it's only Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So why don't you say, Sofek Halacha Moshe Mesinai Lukula? So he answers that it's all in a half a line. The kasha is implicit. He says, the teretz is the two kinds of Halacha Moshe Mesinai. let's say, Orla B'chutzlar, it says, Yesh Me'ayin Halacha Moshe M'sina. Here, the Halacha Moshe M'sina is explaining what the word mikveh means. And the Chumash, it says, Berachat says, B'sara B'mayim, they have to be toivel in a mikveh. How much water they need in the mikveh. So this is not an independent Halacha Moshe M'sina. This is a Halacha HaMefareshet. There's Halacha HaMechadeshet. Halacha Moshe M'sina Mechadesh Anudin. Then you have Halacha HaMefareshet. The Halacha Moshe M'sina tells you that if it doesn't have them, so it's not a good mikveh. So the Rambam answers, when do I, it's all implicit, it doesn't say explicit, but that's clearly what he's driving at. When do I hold that Sufik Halacha Moshe M'sina Lekula? If the Halacha Moshe M'sina formulates a new din, Yesh Me'ayin, like Orla B'chutzlar. But here the Halacha is Mefarish Pshat and Lechumish, so then you say Sufik Deraisa Lechumer. You don't say Sufik Halacha Moshe M'sina Lekula. So the Arad the Rabbana writes, he thinks that's the Rambam that the Ramban is attacking. The Ramban never tells you where is the Rambam that he's attacking. He just attacks the Rambam. Why he wrote that Safik Halacha, every Safik Halacha Moshe M'sina is always Lukuli. He thinks that the Gemara only meant this Halacha Moshe M'sina. Safik Halacha B'chutzla is not a klal in every Halacha Moshe M'sina. Then you have Safik Geiriv. Safik Geiriv is Lukula. The bottom tesis refers you to a Gemara, where the Gemara had a svara to distinguish between Eruvei Tchumin and Eruvei Chatzeres. On the last line in Tosfos, on the last line at bottom Tosfos, on Vav and Beis, they tell you the Perek Misha Hotziyu, that's an Erev Memvav. An Erev Memvav, the Gemara has a whole list there. How do you paskim? Whatever this machlokes is, Tana A and B, the din is like this one. Whatever C and D, the din is like that one. E and F, the din is like that. All the Tanoim, all the Klo. Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, you always paskim like this, and Mamnio, and Issa, you paskim like this. Rabbi and Rav Ashi, paskin like that, a whole 100 lines in the Gemara. How do you paskin when there's a machlek, this one and that one? So on that daf, the Gemara says, and when it comes to Avelus, Alochi deva mekel ba'ov, Alochi deva mekel ba'erev. So the Gemara thought, Salkadaita chamina, there would be room to distinguish anamili, Eruvi chatzeres. Then you should go to Kula. Aval Eruvi tchumen, Emaloi, so kamach mama not so, even Halachik devamekol ba'erev, even Eruv etchumen. Why would one think to distinguish between Eruv etchumen and Eruv etchatzeres? Eruv etchatzeres is legamre midirabbanim. Eruv etchatzeres means you have a wall, let's say you have an apartment building. So there's a wall around the whole apartment building. So you have 100 apartments in the building. The wall around it, the whole thing al pidin is one big rishus sayach. But at Torah you can carry wherever you want within the apartment building. But midirabbanim, Shlomo HaMelech made a gzeirah. Shlomo HaMelech was Geyser on a Ruvi Chatzeres. Since Reuven's family lives in this apartment, Shimon's family lives in that apartment. And the hallways are used, the hallways and the lobbies are used by all the people. So everybody asks on everybody else. It's a new concept that doesn't exist on the Din Deraisa. A Rishus HaYochid with an Issa Tilto. It doesn't exist on the Din Deraisa, on the level of Deraisa. Shlomo HaMelech invented a new Chumrah that you're not allowed to carry in an apartment building. Well, years ago, the cities had a wall around it for protection, so the wall was much more than 10 tefachim tall. The wall was a mechitza. The wall was to protect them. Now the walls don't help because they go by airplane. They drop bombs, so the wall is not going to help. But years ago, they had no airplanes, so they would go to fight. They would send soldiers or use a tank. And they, so if you have a big wall, a sturdy wall, you're protected inside the city. So if you have a wall around the city, everything in the city is al pidin. So we should say yachid. So that's only a chumra midrabbanan. Shlomo HaMelech made it. You have to make a ruvi chatzeres because the people ask around each other. So there, there's a din halachik devamekol ba'erev because erev chatzeres is a gamri, an invention midrabbanan. The concept doesn't exist on the level of the eyes. We should say yachid with an isa tilbut. But a ruvi tchumen, there's a pasuk in chumash that you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. In the midbar it says al yetzi ish memkomo. What does it mean al yetzi ish memkomo? So the Gemara, the end of the first parak in Eridin, has two pshat, and one pshat is al yetzi ish. When the mon came down, so every morning the people had to go with a bag or a pot, and they had to collect the mon and put it in the container. And each person, a husband, a wife, and they had 9 children, so they had to take 11 portions Aymalad Gilgulis, for each member of the household, they would take. So on Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Al Yezi Ishmim Kom, Abi Kelo Biyodo. You're not allowed to carry because there was no Erev in the Midbar, so they're not allowed to carry it, so Rishus Arab. So that's the Poshib Shat in the Poshib. Al Yezi Ishmim Kom, Abi Kelo Biyodo. He's telling them the din of Hoitzor. Then there's another pshat, Al Yezi Ishmim Kom, you're not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum. So Rabbi Kiva holds that Tchumen is a din there, right? So Rabbi Kiva holds even Tchumen Al Pai Mam. Al Pai Mam is 1 mil. Al Pai Mam is the right. So the Gemara says, we don't pass on like Rabbi Akiva. We don't. The din has not been accepted like this, Rabbi Akiva. So that's a big machloek. So what about Tchumen of Yud Beis Mil? So the Rambam and the Riv both followed the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi raised the possibility that even though the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva, Al Pai Mam of 1 mil is only the Rabbanan, but of the Yud Beis Mil that was Machne Yisrael was Yud Beis Mil of Yud Beis Mil. So if you go Yud Beis Mil Chutz L'Tchum, that's already Tchum in their eyes. The Bavli HaTosfos don't accept that Yerushalmi. In the Bavli, it's never mentioned. So the Bavli HaTosfos assume whenever, if it doesn't say a word in the Bavli, it means that Bavli is Chayuk on Yerushalmi. Whenever there's a machlokes, so the riff in the end of there then has the rule. Whenever there's a steer between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, we always follow the Bavli. So that's what the Mechaber writes, that if you're going to go Chutz L'Tchum Yud Beis Mil, that's a din der Aisha. Whenever there's a suffix in the Gemara and Hilchas Erev, then you have to go to Chumra if it's Yud Beis Mil. And the Ramah says, Rosh Kanaz, and we don't follow that opinion. We follow the Bavli HaTosfos, that everything is the Rabban. But even if you hold that all of Tchumen is the Rabban, and even Yud Beis Mil, but there's an Asmachta in the Pasuk, Al Yetzi Ish Mim Koma is an Asmachta. Then the Rabbanan, that has an Asmachta, is considered more Chomer than it did the Rabbanan, which doesn't have an Asmachta. That's an interesting idea. The Achreinim have that. But you see it from this Tosfos, from this Gemara, the Gemara that they quoted from Erev and Daf Mem Vav. Asmachta, you see, you can take the New York Times and make an Asmachta. You can make a Rashi Tevis at a Gematria. So we never learn Abdinim from Gematrias or from Rashi Tevis. But Asmachta is more than that. Asmachta means that was the author's intention. When the Rebbe Shlom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, write it in such a way that the Chachamim in a later generation will be Me'orer to make, they'll be Nisar to make a Din de Rabbana based on the way I worded the Pasuk. So the Pasuk says, it sounds like it's going on Tchumen. So even though we Paskin doesn't go on Tchumen, but Tchumen is a Din de Rabbana that's more Chomer than a Ruvi Chatzeres. Because Tchumen has an Asmacht in the Chumash. And that was the author's intention. That's the Rebbe Shalom meant that. The Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that it's more than one level of understanding. And one of the levels, so sometimes the additional level was intended to be a Din D'oraisa. And sometimes the additional level was only intended to be an Asmachta. The Prima Godim suggests maybe there's a difference. Sometimes Gemara says Asmachta, sometimes Gemara says Asmachta B'Alma. So he said, Asmachta B'Alma, that's like you can make a Rashi Tevis in the New York Times. That's only a remez. But Asmachta Chashuva, maybe that was the author's intention. The Rebbe Shalom wanted the Bezdin in the later generation to come up with that Din D'Rabban. So that's what the Gemara suggests there. One might have thought that the klal that we have, halachic dira mekel be'erib, should only apply to Eruvi Chatzeris because it's legamre adin de Rabban. That Eruvi Tchumen, Tchum Shabbos, even if you assume all of Tchumen is the Rabban, but it's a moch chomedik adin de Rabban because it has an asmachta. So we don't distinguish. We say halachic dira mekel be'erib, even in Eruv Tchumen. Yeah. Where do we make the distinction between Eruv Chatzer and Eruv Tchumen? So Tosfos points out, Bein HaShmashos. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, in Bama Madlik, and Sofich HaShecha, Sofich Eni HaShecha, Eim Asan Es Habad, Vein Matpil, Masakil, Vein Matbik, Masaner, Sava Ma'asrin, Es Hadamai, Ma'arvin, Metomnin, Es Achamin. So it says, Ma'arvin, you're permitted to make an Eruv, Bein HaShmashos. What Eruv are you talking about? So Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Bama Madlikin. Ma'arvin, Bein HaShmashos, is only Eruvi Chatzeres. But Kan Be'eruvi Tchumen, Kan Be'eruvi Chatzeres. Eruvi Tchumen, you're not allowed to make Bein HaShmashos, because it's more Chomer. binegir to the other, the last line in Tosefta, they quote from Erev and Daf Mem Vav, there was a Salkadait Hamina, there was a Havamina that is rejected, that we should distinguish between Eruv Chatzeres and Eruv Tchumen binegir to Halachi the Ramekel. So we reject that Havamina. With Mekel, in any Sophic Erev, even Eruv Tchumen. But binegir to Ben Ashmasher, that's also Sophic. Sophic Yom, Sophic Lada, but that's a different kind of a Sophic. So that Sophic, you only make to make a Ruvi Chatzeris. To make a Ruvi Tchumen Be'an Shmoshis, you're not allowed to. It doesn't help. So we do distinguish between the two. So the Mishkan is Yankiv and the Sefer Kohel is Yankiv on the first Perek in Brochus, Dafir Aleph, has this long piece where he lists off all of the dinim. One of the dinim that we didn't mention yesterday was Hamoitz Machavera, all of Araya. In Holchem a Moment Achar HaRov, you can't be Moitzi Moment based on a Rov. So let's say there's a Machloikis HaPaskim, am I chayv to pay you money? Some kind of a Shail and Dini Momenis. It's a Machloikis, Rov HaPaskim say I'm Machloikis to pay you, and Miot HaPaskim say I'm Potter. So the Bezin wants the Paskim based on the Rov HaPaskim, I'm Machloikis to pay you. So I can have the right to say, Kimli, I hold like the Miot opinion. What do you mean I hold? I don't know how to learn. What do you mean I hold? The din is hamotzi machaber ol haraya. You have no right to be motzi moment based on a rov. Neither if it's a rov about the facts of the case. We're not sure what happened, so the likelihood is it probably happened like this. Nor can you follow the rov of the poskim. I say you have no right to. I'm the muchzak on the money. You have no right to take away the money. Not only if there's a sofik mamayna, sofik 50-50. Even if it's a sofik 90-10. 90% likelihood that the din is that I'm chayv to pay you, and 10% of the poskim hold that I'm potter, I have the right to say kimli. I don't want to surrender the money. I'm muchzok, and you have to have something stronger like that. So that's what we say. Whenever there's a machloikis, a rabbim against the yochid, we say not that the yochid. We don't assume the yochid made a mistake. Eilavida divilikim chayim. And it's considered a Sofi Koldu, and sometimes Sofi Koldu is enough. The Paskan based on that. So if you're Muchzak on the Mammon, Sofi Koldu is enough to hold on to the money. Or he quotes also this, it constitutes Ambidus Chasidus, Shibichoshish for the Shitas Hayochi. You find Tanoim and Amaroim, different cases, they held really something as Mutter, but because there was a minority opinion, said that it's also, said there would be Choshish for the Shitas Hayochi. Ambidus Chasidus. The Torah's Midas Chassidus, that's considered Sofik Deraisa L'chumra. It's not a real Sofik, it's not 50-50, it's a 90-10. But still, it's a Midas Chassidus to be Choshish for the Shita Sayochid. And then, if you have a Dinder Rabbanan, and it's a big Shas Hatrag, it's going to be a big Hefzid Meruba, the couple going to have to get divorced, going to be wreck their whole, their lives and so on, going to be a big Hefzid Meruba. So then sometimes we say, and then the Rabban, Kedai here applying this Mechol of Shas HaTchak, it's a big Shas HaTchak, you have a right to be Mekel, like the Shita Sayochid, even though the Rabbim disagree. And the Din Deraisa, you can't say. He said, that's a Machlok, it's the Taz and the Shach. So usually we don't, Taz a lot of times we ignore. The Taz didn't have too many Svarim. So, and the Shach had somehow access to everything. The Shach died at a very young age, at the age of 40. How do you know that those swarm even existed? He had all the swarm from Greece. He had everything. So this is the machlokes, the Shach and the Taz. So the Taz says, even on a din deraisa, you can also say, Kedai raplei lis machol b'shas hatchak. And the Shach writes, and the Nekudas HaKesef, that's when he disagrees with the Taz. He has everything in the Nekudas HaKesef. Torizav nasalochem Nekudas HaKesef. That's a posik in Shir Hashem. So the Torizav is the Taz. Because HaKesef is all the Hasogas that the Shach has against the Taz. And usually, Ruba the Ruba, when there's Machlegs of the Shach and the Taz, we do not Paskan like the Taz. Usually when there's Machlegs of the Taz and the Mogan Avram and Arachim also, you don't Paskan like the Taz. He didn't have access to too many Swarm. So we usually don't accept his opinions. So the Taz writes that even on a Din Deraisa also, if it's a big Shach HaTchak, you have the right to be Mekel like the minority opinion. And the Shach said that that's ridiculous. It's a prat within the din, Sveka, the Rabbanu Lekula, If you have that machlokes 50-50, and you can't be machria, you have a right to be meiko. What if it's not 50-50? What if it's 90-10? So that's not a sveika de rabbana lekula. But if it's a big shas hatrak and a big hefse merube, so then kedai raplani this machala b'shas hatrak. The Gemara has it in a few cases. All the cases are dealing the rabbana. The Gemara never has it on the din derais. And Ruba, the Ruba of the Paskim say like the Shach. Very few agree with the Taz. Doesn't apply to Din in their eyes. Anyway, this is all based on the assumption. All of these are based on the assumption of the minority opinion that was not accepted doesn't mean that he made a mistake. It's a legitimate shita, just the Torah says Acharav Mahatas, which they follow the majority opinion. So once in a while, we follow the minority opinion. Because it hasn't really been, we never said it was wrong. So sometimes we even follow with halacha l'maaseh. But then we have limitations. So Moshe Feinstein said, if Bessam and Mesilim on the same base marriage, they were omdu l'minyan, they were outvoted. So goodbye. So that's why it says Bessam and Mesilim in a Mishnah. We don't rely on Bessam and not Sofer Gadol b'Chutzlo, not to make a svek sveke. Not Bishas Atrak, they absolutely never. What they had against Beis Shammai? Rabbi said, not they had against Beis Shammai. They were Om Dulaminya, they were together. Whenever they were together, the minority was outvoted, then you ignore the Shita. And then we mentioned that Beis Shmuel says, I think it's Simon Ayin in Ebenezer, he said, Abay Yerush Estishtoi, there's a machlokes between the Rimagash and all the other poskimus. He says, if it's a Shita Yechidah, then you don't say Elu Yehu. It's a minority opinion. And ganz den Nitchen in Halacha. Then you just ignore it. And then the Beis Shmuel added on, even if the Rambam agrees with the Rimagash, still the Shita Yechidah, you ignore it. Because the Rambam was so in awe of the Rimagash, he writes Sichva Mabes, B'chol HaTalmud. So he, without even thinking, he's going to vote like the Rimagash. So that only counts as if it's one Shita. As if it's the Rimagash. The Rimagash was outvoted, and that's all. The Shita Yechidah. So you have to know when to apply the klavim. There is a couple of wise guys married, so came to America. America does a lot of money. So they established a bezin to be mata all the agunas. Right? They hang up a shingle. We are the international bezin for agunas. We have a lot of rabbanim here in America. We don't need them. In Eretz Yisrael, nobody cares what they say. A bunch of crackpots. So they came to America. Everybody hangs up a shingle, and you become a chief rabbi. So the Matar Agunas, based on the woman is at Agunas to Shas HaTchak. So they take a Shita Yechidah that was outvoted by 1,000 votes to one, and they rely on that. Kedai Raplaylis Mechol B'Shas HaTchak. They're talking about Aguna Deraisa, not talking about Aguna Derabona. Aguna Derabona means the husband is probably dead. We talk among ourselves, do you think the husband is alive or dead? The husband is probably dead. But Mayim Shein Lo Hamsof, there's a Chumim in the Rabbanon that she can't remarry. So she's only an Agunim in the Rabbanon. On the level of the Raisa, the Roiv indicates that the husband probably drowned. But we didn't ever retrieve the dead body. So she's only Agunim in the Rabbanon. So there, if it's a big Shas HaTrak, then sometimes you would say, Kedai Hiraplein Elis Mechol B'Shas HaTrak. But if the husband is alive, and he does want to give his wife a get, she's an aguna deraisa. She's not an aguna mederabana. So you don't say kedai haplay lis mochol b'shas atchak andinim deraisa. You have not accepted that taz. It's utterly ridiculous. A lot of things they're very proud of their chuvas. So they print all their chuvas. So one of the chuvas they wrote, they ascertained that the husband was not a shem shabbos before they got married. Machal Shabbos Dinikin Nachri, and Kiddushin Topsim Binachri. So therefore, she doesn't need a get. Good morning. That means Machal Shabbos, Mekadosh Anisha, the Kiddushin Ant Taifas. The Gemara says if you have a ger who decided he wants to go back to Christianity, it is Mekadosh Anisha, the Kiddushin Achal. The Kiddushin Achal. So if you have a Jew who was born a Jew, and it's Machal Shabbos Dinikin Akum, so therefore the Kiddushin Ant Topsim. It's ridiculous. Everything they write is ridiculous. This is an important concept. They say that they have Kim Chaim. Many people misunderstand it. They think that what it means is, and halach, anything goes. You can follow whatever sheet you want. That's not what it means. B'sham b'mokam esil ena mishnah. You don't pass on that Beishama Yerom. Dibali Kimchai means when you learn Beishama Shita, it constitutes a mitzvah Talmud Torah. And sometimes Dibali Kimchai is even relevant halacha lemaisa, but not on a din deraisa that you just follow minority opinion b'shas atcha. There are rules and regulations. It's a rich topic. Okay, what is the next gemara? Amar Rav Chizkiya, the Olam Aliyata Lo Demei Miyisei B'Sof Beiso. Don't be a tyrant when you get married. If you treat your wife improperly, it'll bring about a divorce. You have to be reasonable. You have to treat your wife with dignity. You have to be mechabed your wife. So the gemara says, Amar Rav Chizkiya, Miyisei B'Sof Beiso. Is a prescription for a divorce. It's going to ruin the whole marriage. It's ridiculous. Moses says, because of the pilegish begiver, the husband was too strict on his wife. He didn't treat her properly, and that's why tens of thousands of Jews lost their lives, because it was caused such a big rift between Shevet Binyamin and all the other Shvatim. It was a disaster for years and years and years. What's the Gilei Arayis? So Rashi says, it's freezing in the winter time. They didn't have a warm mikveh. They have to break the ice and be toivel in the mikveh there outside, a lake or something. So if it's freezing, the wife is going to be petrified of her husband. She's going to say, I didn't go to mikveh. He's going to beat her up. He's going to scream at her. So she's going to be afraid to tell the truth. So she's going to tell a lie, tovalti, misham shasa nida. She'll violate the isa nida. So Rashi interprets it. That's what it means, gilui arayis. That's really a big machloikas. Whether you say by nida, nida is an isa koris, is it taka gilui arayis, that it's covered with the din of yehorek v'ayavar, or not? So the Rambam writes explicitly, nida, neither is an exception to the rule. Usually by all the chabikrisis, achoso, imo, bito, eshesish, all the arayis that have kores, we say, the vlad is a mamzer, if they have a child, the vlad is a mamzer, we say, en kedushin dobson. By boala nido, let's say the girl couldn't go to mikveh before the wedding, so the kedushin atobson, the gemara knows that from the pasuk, kedushin atobson benido. And if a couple doesn't observe taras hamshpach, we don't say the children a mamzer. The vlad is not a mamzer. The gemara is a pasuk. The vlad is not a mamzer. Kiddush and atopsin. So it's clearly an exception to the rule, but it's a machlek and serushanim. Which rule is it an exception to? Is it an exception despite the fact that there's koris? It's not gili arayis. Or they say no, koris. It is gili arayis. Despite the fact that it's gili arayis, the vlad is not a mamzer and the kiddush and atopsin. So that's a big machloka. So the Rambam writes explicitly, Nida, Rambam in Hilchos, he's Suri Bia. As a few times, Nida b'chalal harayis, it is harayis. And the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Tshuvas of Rambam, he say, Yehorek wal yava, by Nida. And the Rabbi Nakam in the Sefer Yosha disagrees. And he holds that Nida is not b'chalal harayis. There's no Yehorek wal yava on Nida. The question, Allah Chalamaisa, how we pass them. There used to be a big Tamachachama on the Lower East Side, Atulia Goldstein used to live. He learned in Europe. I think he learned by Rabbi Chana Rassman in Europe as a young boy. Rabbi Chana used to have young boys soon after Bar Mitzvah learned by him, and then it was like high school. And then they moved on to bigger and better yeshivas. So this Atulia Goldstein was a big Talmud Chacham. He passed away a long time ago. So he already printed three svarim of shurim of his. Very nice. See, he thinks that we should pass like the Rabbeinu Tam. He thinks that the Shaila comes up, Aloch Lamaisa, we should really pass like the Rabbeinu Tam. He thinks a lot of Rishonim agree with the Rabbeinu Tam that Nida is not Gili Arayis. Anyway, but Rashi seems to hold not. So Rashi translates Gili Arayis. Rashi translates that it's Misham Shasa Nida is called Gili Arayis. Not a lot of B'matal, let me say, you have to treat human beings decently, especially Ishtoi. You have to be mechabed the wife. Amar Rabba Baba Chana, Hodi Amar Rabbanan, the Mishnah, Shlosha Dorm Tzorachala, Tzorachadam Laman Vesach Pesa, Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha, Isartam Eravtam Hadliku Asaner. Hadliku Asaner means before Bein Hashmash, Im Chashecha. Before, Eim Hadlikim, Sofik Hashecha, Sofik Eni Hashecha, Eim Hadlikim Asaner, you're not allowed to, Bein Hashmash, you're not allowed to do a Malacha Derais. So this is Im Chashecha, as it's about to, the sun is about to set, but it didn't set yet. That's not even Bein Hashmashes. So when he tells this to the wife, he says, Tzorach L'marmina Bini Chusun. You have to say it calmly. If the husband is going to scream at his right, make sure you ben shlich before Shkia. He's going to scream, so she's going to scream back. So it's not a good way to act with your wife. They tell this story about someone came to the Chazon Ish and he had a problem with Shalom Bayis. His wife didn't get along with him. And he says he doesn't understand. He always says it very nicely to his wife. She should ben shlich. So the Chazon Ish says, tell me the rest. What goes on? So he tells him. They have 10 children and he never lifts a finger to help the wife. And she's busy on Erev Shabbos, baking, cooking, preparing everything. He doesn't help her at all. Then he tiptoes, he's about to leave for sure. He says, okay, don't forget the bench. He says, a benichusa. He says, help your wife out. You have to help her out. It doesn't help that you do benichusa. To say benichusa is part of the rest of how he's supposed to deal with his wife. Has to help his wife. They tell the story about the Satmar Rebbe. Apparently it says in some Chassidish Svarim that if you're careful when you fold your talis neatly, Amatzoi Shabbos, so it says gula for Shalom Bayis. So there was one chassid, Satmar, they would have Mayrim and Tzoi Shabbos 3 hours after the Shkia. They would start Shalosh Udis 2 hours after the Shkia. By then everything is late. Then Mekabel Shabbos an hour after. They daven Mincha. They take a shower an hour after the Shkia. They daven Mincha an hour and a half after the Shkia on Friday. Everything is late by Satmar. So he said that there was one balabas. Everybody went home. He was the only one left in the shul, folding his talis meticulously. So the Satmar Rebbe walked up to him and said, why are you here so late? He says, a school for Shalom Bayis doesn't have Shalom Bayis. If you go home and help your wife, it's a bigger school for Shalom Bayis than folding the talis so meticulously. It doesn't help if you say benichus, if you don't help out the wife. You have to help out. You have to have brains, an ounce of brains. Okay. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be matalem, you say. So the Gemara says, there was once an occasion, Ari Adam Gadol, the fourth line, fifth line from the top of Zayin Amun Aleph, there was an Adam Gadol, he talem in Sebe Toch Besa, he used to terrorize his wife, improperly, v'chilu Dover Gadol. Who is the person, they tell you his name, Achonina ben Gamliel, what was the Dover Gadol, they fed him, was Eben Achai. So the Gemara says, how can that be? Maybe takol al yodam tzadikim atzmam lekol shikain. What's that behemtam shel tzadikim? So they tell you that's in Chulin Dav Zayin. The story Chulin Dav Zayin is about whom? Who is the story about? Pinchas ben Yair. What he had a chamor of Pinchas ben Yair. He was a holy tzadik. So on one occasion, he was staying somewhere, so they gave the chamor some grain to eat, some food to eat, and they wouldn't eat it. They didn't understand why they didn't eat it. So it turned out that it was tevel. And tevel is muta b'hanor, but it's hanor shel kilu. You're not allowed to feed it to your animal. The animals are not Jewish. They're not non-Jews either. They're not human beings. They're not Jewish. So what's wrong? No, but hanor shel kilu, to consume the tevel without being mafish to mismaiz, that's awesome. So the behentam shel tzadik and Pinchas ben Yoris chamor wouldn't eat the tevel. So the Gemara says, if behemtam shel tzadikim ha'kavish boch maybe takol al yodam tzadikim atzmam like koshken, how can it be that they fed this Chanina ben Gamliel? They consider him a tzadik. How can it be that they fed him treif of food? They fed him eiv melachai. Gemara says, no, they almost fed him. Bikshu, they almost fed him. But we assume behemtam. We assume enakash bach maybe takol ayon. Where does the Gemara have that behemtam? Tadikim atzmo lo koshken. Gemara Chulin tells this story. Rebbe Hita Beit Shan. Beit Shan is a section in Eretz Yisrael, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. So somebody told Reb Meir's brother-in-law. told over to Reb Yehuda Hanasi. He remembers once his brother-in-law, Reb Meir. What was the brother-in-law's name? Reb Yeshua ben Zorus, the Gemara says. I remember someone once showed me a bechina in some kollel in Eretz Yisrael, where they were learning Chulin and Yeridei. But that was a question on the bechina. What was the name of the brother-in-law of Reb Meir? You have to remember the name also. His name was Reb Yeshua ben Zorus. Okay. So he tells over Reb Yehuda Hanasi, he once saw his brother-in-law, Reb Meir, eat vegetables in the Beit Shana area, and he wasn't mafrish, and it was demai, and he wasn't mafrish maisus on it. So Rebbe was concerned. How can it be? Be'emtam shel tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevita kol hayom, tzadikim atzmo like kol shkein. So Rebbe assumed that it must be that that area in Eretz Yisrael was never in Kaddish. Because when he came back after the 7 years of Golas Babel, there were Habre Krachim Kovshal, the Mitzvah Mela Kovshal, the Babel, there were a lot of cities. Krach is a big metropolis. So there were a lot of areas which had a Kedusha Rishon in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, but when they came back in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, they were not Mekadosh them. They made a political decision not to be Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael, because they knew in Shemitah it's going to be a problem. The poor people won't have any panosa, they won't have any food. So they left out a whole section. They left out a whole section. So many assumed that they left out the whole Beit Shan area. The Chazon Ish said he doesn't think it means they left out. There are certain areas within Beit Shan they left out. After the Chazon Ish passed away, then they discovered old shuls from the Galil, where they had the map. Which parts of Beit Shan are chutzlos and which parts of Eretz Yisrael? The Chazon Ish was right. He was guessing. He thought it didn't mean the whole Beit Shan. Sections of Beit Shan. So Rebbe hit Beit Shan. He said the areas of Beit Shan which were never in the Kaddish B'Kedusha Shniya, and therefore the laws of Shemitah don't apply. You're permitted to do Avodas HaKarka there. Based on this testimony that the brother-in-law of Reb Meir says that he saw Reb Meir eat alashol yerek, he ate some vegetables that he bought from an Amoritz, and he wasn't mafrish maisus. So what? Can't be. Rebbe was a tzaddik, behemtam shel tzaddik, and tzaddik asma kolshkein. So it must be that it wasn't there at Israel. Wow. So Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natan, the top Tosfos on Zion Mount. These are famous Tosfos. He thinks that it's only midah d'achila, only to eat non-kosher food, that's it. Because the Gemara tells about Yehuda ben Tabai, by mistake, he gave the death penalty to an Eid Zayman, even though it was Shaloi Kedin. Or Rabbi Shmuel Korvahita, he was once reading La'ora Ne'er on Shabbos, and then he was so involved in the learning, so he forgot that he was Machal Shabbos. So what happened to Behemtam Shel Tzadikim? The Torah says it only applies to eating non-kosher food. Doesn't apply to Shabbos, Chilu Shabbos, doesn't apply to killing people. But Hashemayim, they won't protect the tzaddik that he shouldn't kill anyone. He can kill people also, but they'll protect him that he shouldn't eat non-kosher food. Only there. Then Tosfos says, even to eat kosher food on Yom Kippur, also they won't protect him. Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Basim tavshile de bavloi, the tzomarabah is Yom Kippur. The big fast day is Yom Kippur, the marabah is Eretz Yisrael. So, I think it's Levi. Levi was in Eretz Yisrael. He knew when they had declared Rosh Hashanah. And then he went to Bavel, and the people are eating on Yom Kippur. They thought Rosh Hashanah was a day later, and the day that they're all eating, they're eating away. They thought they're eating on Erev Yom Kippur. They thought tomorrow is going to be Yom Kippur. So Levi makes the comment, Basim tavshila de bavloi. The bavloi are eating delicious food on the day that's really Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael. They're making a mistake. They think today is Erev Yom Kippur. They're eating. So how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow them to eat on Yom Kippur? That's a tragedy. What happened to the Kal Vachayim? Behemtam shel tzedikim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevita kol hayom, tzedikim atzmo lakoshken. He says, no, it's kosher food. You're just eating it on Yom Kippur. That's not the HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevita, only if it's non-kosher food. That's very disgusting. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect. And he says also to eat before Havdalah. not allowed to eat before Havdalah. He didn't eat non-kosher food, he ate before Havdalah, which he's not allowed to do. So that's we don't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe Tarkol Ayon. Okay. It's a problem. Why should it only be Macholos Asur? That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. Genayhu Letzadik Shorechol Devar Iser Letamtem Esalev. Whatever the explanation is. So here there's a famous discussion. There's a famous Nesibus HaKadosh Mishpat. The Shulchan Aruch often quotes Rambam's word for word. So the Rambam, it's a Rambam Hilchas Mechira. Let's say I have a butcher shop and you come, you want to buy some meat for Shabbos. You're making a bar mitzvah. So you want to buy a lot of meat to cook it for the bar mitzvah. And then you bought the meat and it turns out that it was nevela meat. So you can give it back and get your money back. That's a mekach tos. What if you bought the meat and you served it at the bar mitzvah, it's all gone and you can't give it back. And then you find out that it was all nevela meat. So the Rambam says, even though you ate it already and you can't give it back, it still is a mekach tos and he has to give you back your money. What if it turns out that it was only nevela as a chumra midirabbanan? The natoira, it's kosher, it's only awesome midirabbanan. So the Rambam is quoting from the Geonim, from the Tshuvas HaGeonim. If it's a nisa deraisa, nevela deraisa, then you get your money back, even though you can't return the meat to them. Even though you ate it up by mistake. He gave me the meat, he thought it was kosher. Turns out it's mekach tos. But if it's a nisa derabbanan, so if you still have the meat, so give it back and get your money back. If you don't have the meat, you ate it already, then fafal, and you don't get your money back. Why is it different with nisa deraisa? Nisa derabbanan, the Rambam doesn't explain. He's quoting the Tshuvas HaGeonim. Why is that? So there's a famous Nesibus on Hilchas Mekach Tois on Chosha Mishpat where the Mechaba quotes verbatim this whole Ram. So the Nesibus develops a whole fantastic idea that sometimes the Torah makes an Iser so the food is treif. So that's a Mekach Tois. It's really Nevela Treifa. But when the Chachamim invented Din the Rabbanan, they can't change the Metzias. The Chachamim, to use Rabbi Soloveitchik's Loshen, the Chachamim are not Chassidish Rebbe that they can make a Moifus, they can't make Mopsim. It's kosher food. How can they make it that it's going to be trade? They said, it's an Isa Gavra, you shouldn't eat it. But the Chefze, there's nothing wrong with the Chefze. The Chefze is, so it's not, so if you ate it B'Shoigeg, since it's only an Isa Gavra, if you ate it B'Shoigeg, you don't even need any Kapara. You don't have to do Tshuva for that. The Isa de Rabbana is not an Isa Chefze. It doesn't have, it's not like eating poison. If you eat an Isa deraisa, that's like it has a negative effect on your neshama, even though you didn't realize it. It's poison. But it was only an Isa derabbanan, it's only an Isa gabra. So if you violate an Isa derabbanan b'shoigeg, you don't need kapar. That's this famous Nesibus explaining the Rambam quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam is quoting this from the Geonim. So the Nesibus lived in the early 1800s. But this idea was already tossed about earlier. The Chidor lived in the 1700s. So the Chidor wrote many, many, many Svarim. I think they wrote as many Svarim as the number of years that he lived. He didn't write a Sefer when he was 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. He wrote all the Svarim later. But he wrote something like 85 Svarim or something like that. You need a whole book just for by the Svarim. The Chidor was a Svardi. So he wrote something like 80 Samad Svarim. He wrote a few encyclopedias, we mentioned encyclopedia on Kabbalah, encyclopedia on Midrashim, encyclopedia on Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSpev. Okay, each Sefer is a different Sefer. Each Sefer is very different. On Chumash, on Nevi'im, on Siddur, everything. He wrote on everything. So the Chidor wrote the Birkei Yosef. One of his names was Yosef. The Chidor is Chaim Yosef David. Had three first names. And the family name was Azulai. I think he has a discussion. There were those who claimed that the family name Azulai is a Rosh Hashanah. He should sign a Bachalol Lo Yikachu. So anyone whose name is Azulai is a Kohen. So the Chidah says it's not true. His name is Azulai, he's not a Kohen. And we used to have a student here whose name is Azulai. He was also not a Kohen, and he said, there are Goyim have the name Azulai. Has nothing to do with Kohen. The Rosh HaTevis is not correct. So the Chidah raises this possibility, like the Nesivis said. And he said, you see that Tosfos doesn't agree with what the Nesivis is explaining, the Tshuvas HaGadim that's quoted by the Rambam. Why, if you ate Macholos HaSuras D'Rabbanan, you ate it already, you can't give it back, then you don't get your money back because there's no Avera. And he said, the Rabbanan B'Shegig, there's no Avera. So Tosfos talks about the fellow who ate before Havdalah. Eating before Havdalah is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, and he ate B'Shegig, it wasn't B'Mezid. So what did Tosfos even raise the issue? That Be'emchem Shel Tzadikim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meivtach Kol Al Yodim, what was the issue? So Nisa D'Rabbanan B'Shegig, so you don't even need Kapar. You see, that Tosfos doesn't agree. Maybe what the Nesivis said is pshat in the Rambam Shem HaGoinim, but Tosfos clearly doesn't agree. They're talking about an Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shegig. And they don't say you don't need Kapar. Anyway, that's a famous Tosfos. The top Tosfos is a famous Tosfos.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Why the fact that you do or do not need Kapara a reason to say that it's a Mekachtos? The fact that I didn't have it right now, I need Tshuva, is a reason to say that I get my money back?
Mekachtos, let's say I buy an automobile and the brakes don't work. I didn't know the brakes don't work. That's a Mekachtos, it doesn't function. So if I buy food and it doesn't work, I can't eat it. So that's a mekach tois. But I ate it. So if I ate it, then it caused me a bellyache. So that's a mekach tois. So if it's an isa deraisa is metamta misalev, even though you ate it b'shoigeg. Sometimes you have to bring, let's say, yeg chel medam b'shoigeg. So you have to bring a chatos. So you see that has a negative effect. If you violate an isa deraisa b'shoigeg, has a negative effect on you, and you have to bring a chatas. But if you ate anisa derabana b'shoigeg, so it did work. It functioned. It didn't leave a negative effect on you, and it functioned. If you didn't eat it yet, then now that you know it's trafe, so you're not allowed to eat it, so you have to give it back. So you bought it, and it's not useful. So then it's a mekachtos. But if you ate it already, and it doesn't leave a negative effect, so then there's no mekachtos. That's how the Nesivis explained this Saka and the Mechaber that he quoted from the Rambam.
Right. Yeah. You still were buying, you were trying to buy something which is kosher meat, and even though you may not be able to eat it, the chefza is still kosher meat, so why should I say I should get a refund? I understand that I can't eat it, but you actually are buying still kosher meat.
But as a mum, let's say I buy an automobile, the brakes work, everything works, but it's all scratched up. I didn't realize. Then I say, it looks ugly. The whole car is scratched up. So that's a mum. You can back out either if there's the wrong din. I ask them to deliver 5 pounds of potatoes and they deliver 5 pounds of onions. That's the wrong din. I ask them for a dozen eggs and it comes out there are only 11 eggs in the car. And there are no dozen eggs. So the Gemara says, if there's a mistake in me, the mishkal, a minyan, it's the wrong weight. I asked for 5 pounds of potatoes, they give me 3 pounds. They charge me for 5 pounds. So if it's a mistake, if they give me onions instead of potatoes, that's the wrong min. Or if they give me a mistake and meet a Mishkan minion, instead of a dozen eggs, it's 11 eggs. Instead of 5 pounds, it's 3 pounds. Or something like that. So that's a mekach tois. You can back out. Or if it has a mum. If it has a mum. Let's say I paid for better quality potatoes are more expensive, and weaker quality potatoes less expensive. So I paid the glatt kosher prices, and it comes out that it's not so good. So whenever it's a mum, so then sometimes you have a right to back out, sometimes not. Depends how big the mum is. Let's say a guy bought a car, and it's all scratched up. Everything works, but it's all scratched up. Doesn't look nice. That's a mum. So sometimes if it's understood that he's going to be embarrassed, because if it has a little scratch somewhere that no one's going to see, so that's not a mum. That's not a mekach tois. But if it's a major scratch that makes the car look ugly and I'm going to park it on the street, people are going to think there's something wrong with me. Why do I buy such a scratched up car? So then it's a mekach tois. Yeah. Then the Gemara tells a story. What happened? There was a fellow by the name of Geneva. Geneva was a big Talmid Chacham. But he was a miserable person. They couldn't stand him. And he always gave everybody a hard time. The Gemara tells in Bava Basra, once that the Chachamim were talking, learning Geneva came, so they were discussing whether they're going to stand up out of respect for him, because he knew how to learn better than them. They said, he's such a miserable person, they're not going to stand up. He's a miserable person. So that's a question. When you stand up for a Talmid Chacham, is that out of Kavod HaTorah? So Geneva was a bigger Talmid Chacham than then. Or did he say, no, maybe you stand up for a Talmid Chacham because we assume that Talmid Chacham probably have more Yerushalayim than the others. But this guy, they had no Yerushalayim. They knew that he was a miserable person. He didn't have Yerushalayim. So that's what it sounds like in that Gemara. They're different Gemaras. They're big Machlokes and the Rishonim. Whether standing up out of respect for Talmid Chacham, out of Kavod HaTorah, or out of Kavod for Yerushalayim. So the Maaseh, they didn't stand up for Geneva. So here, Geneva gave him a hard time. Geneva used to cheat on income tax. He used to do a lot of things that were illegal. They wanted to know how they allowed a Maaseh him, because he was such a miserable person. So they said, you're not allowed a Maaseh a Jew. Just pray to the Baruch Shalom that they should get rid of him. So they prayed. And then the government caught up with him on their own, that he was cheating and something. The Nas knew was Adaba Yatzim Pira Blazer, and what happened? The Nas knew Laganeva, the collar, a collar. They put a collar, they arrested him. But by today, they would say they put handcuffs on. The police put handcuffs, and they took him away, and they put him in prison. See, they put a collar around his neck, and they took him away for other things. They didn't mask him. That's the din. If a person is Meitzer is HaYochid, you have no right to masa him. If he's Meitzer is HaRabim, if he's a public menace, let's say a fellow makes believe that he's very sharp in investments, and people giving him a fortune of money, he's investing all the money, and we know that he's a ganav. He pockets all the money for himself. Are you permitted to masa him to the government that they should put him in prison? And you know that he has done this to a few people. He's going to continue doing it. So that's called Meitzer es HaRabim. One is Meitzer es HaRabim, and he's going to continue to do it if he once did something wrong, but we can't predict he's going to do it again. That's not called Meitzer es HaRabim. Well, one is Meitzer es HaRabim, you're permitted to masa him. Or let's say a person is Makir es Chaver, someone beats up other people, there's no is in the serum. That's why they have instructions. The mikveh lady has instructions. Sometimes a woman comes to the mikveh, you see that she's all beaten up on her back. Obviously her husband is beating her up. So the law requires that you have to, the government requires, you have to tell the government about this, and they have to investigate and put the husband in jail, or whoever it is beating her up. So that's not, there's no is in the serum there. If he's makas chaver, if he insults, he humiliates them, he intimidates them, then you should daven. Then you should masa. But if he's meitzer es harabim, then there's no is in misira. Or if he's makar chaver, then there's no is in misira. Fine. What does the Gemara continue? Shochel el marukva. They sent their shayla. Zimra min olan diosa. How do you know that you're not allowed to sing? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. The Gemara says, but he could have quoted a different pasuk. He says, no. If he would only quote the other second pasuk, I would have mistakenly thought, if you're playing music with a musical instrument, mana is a kli in Aramaic. Zimmer demon. Avol de puma, but to sing, prepare, that would be mutter. Let's say, we have a meaning that people in Avelis don't listen to music, but they don't listen, they're not allowed to sing. They're allowed to sing, they don't listen to music, musical instruments, you don't listen. Zimmer de Man is also, Zimmer de Puma is Mutter. But over here, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, you're not supposed to even sing. Really? We sing all the time. So what do we do with this Gemara? So everybody relies on that. The Meiri on this Gemara quotes those who say it goes on secular love songs. So that we don't sing, I hope. We sing other things. Shiri Kodesh is mutter to sing. But secular love songs, that's not permissible. Zimmer de Puma is also Kamash Malon. Then the Gemara says, what's Pshat in the Pasuk? Where is this Pasuk? in Sefer Yehoshua. The Gemara in Adorim says if the HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Nevi'im to give Tochacha to Bnei Yisrael, if the Jews would not have sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have to send any Nevi'im, and we wouldn't have a whole Tanakh. We wouldn't have a section of Nevi'im. The Nevi'im was sent to give Tochacha. So the Gemara has an Adorim. The Gemara has a statement. If not for the fact that the Jewish people sinned, we would have only been given a Chamishul Chamshei Torah. The Sefer Yehoshua would have been given Pnei Kvodu Shal Eretz Yisrael. Because it lists off all of the cities and it lists off the borders between one Shevet and the other Shevet. And that's considered a Chelek of Talmud Torah. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. That when Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look at Eretz Yisrael. So the Vilna Gaon quotes a passage from the Zohar that Moshe Rabbeinu was only into learning. So wow, how come all of a sudden over here he's into geography of Eretz Yisrael? So the Vilna Gaon says to learn the geography of Eretz Yisrael is a chelik, it's an integral part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If you don't, just like if you never learned Zeroyim, Mekotchim, and Taras, you're missing in Talmud Torah. So if you know all of Shas, but you don't know the geography of Eretz Yisrael, that's also a chelik of Talmud Torah. So one sends the other a letter. What's pshat in the pasuk? Kina v'dimona v'dimona v'adeta. So he says, Matzvosa deretzok l'choshim. That's Sefer Yehoshua. List off all the cities in Eretz Yisrael. That's the chashivus of Sefer Yehoshua. Mishum kvodu shel Eretz Yisrael. So he says, Otano lo yedaina. What do you think? I don't know. It's cities in Eretz Yisrael. But there's probably a drasha on the pasuk. There's probably a drasha, like in Sefer Divrei Yamin just lists off names, all Divrei Yamin's names. But the Gemara says that there were camels loaded down with kisveyad of perushim on the names. There's more drushes of Torah Shabbat Pen Divrei Yamin than in any other Sefer in Tanakh. So he says, yeah, the names of the cities I know, Mishum Kvodah Shel Eretz Yisrael. That's a safe in Tanakh, but there's what the darshan also. What is it, the darshan on this pasuk that says kina v'kimona v'adeda? So he says, Amma Bataima. So Ragveh me'agiza, Ragveh from the city Agiza, had an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk, adrasha on the pasuk. What does it mean? Kol sheyesh lo kina al chaveiro v'daimim. If a person, what does Rashi say, kina al chaveiro? Kina. Kas machmasar shetziaro. Somebody babbled me, so I'm upset about it. I feel bad. So one has kina al chaver b'damim, but he doesn't say anything about it. So the Rabbanu Shalom in heaven above will take care of it. Shechen adayad also the Hakadosh Baruch Hu will punish the other one. But it's not right. You shouldn't, even though you have tainus to get someone else, you shouldn't make a whole machlekes about it. Daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll take care of it. So that's a discussion. When are you permitted to be Moser Dino LaShamayim? That's a Tosafot Hashkem Harav Aleihem. The Tosafot quotes Bavakam Daf Tzad Gimel. A Moser Dino LaShamayim, somebody ba'aveled me, so I pray when I daven, I pray in the Shemoneh Esrei, please punish so-and-so because he cheated me $500,000. He stole $500,000. Is that permissible to ask heaven to punish someone because he ba'avled me? So the Gemara says, it depends. If you can go to a Bezdin and claim your money, so what are you asking? They should punish it. But if it's leisle dina ba'ara, if there's no Bezdin to go to, the guy is a gavra alim. He's a tough guy. No one wants to start up with him. And the only way to get your money back is by praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then it's mutter. It's mutter limsa dina la shaman. They call him. Okay, they call him. That's important. Hilchas Tfila. When are you permitted to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should punish someone? So that's what, that was Rav Gveyev in the city. Agiza gave this interpretation in the pasuk. Kina v'dimona v'adeda. The shochan adayad will punish the person if he ba'aveled you and you don't make a whole stink about it. So he says, hey, that's interesting. And what about the next pasuk? Well, there are more psukim than Yeshua. What do you have to say about Amale? Elamiyata, what about the other pasuk? Tziklok madmeno v'sansena. Achanami, do you have a vort on that also? Says, yeah, if this Rav Gvei Agiza would be here, he would probably have a pshat on that as well. So he gives a pshat. Okay. Then the Gemara says, what time is it? The Gemara asks a question. Amalei Reish Galusa LeRav Huna. The line begins with the words Reish Galusa. 1, 2, 3, 5 lines, and the wider lines. So Reish Galusa sent a shaila to Rav Huna. Klila minon ados. Adinav Chosin is not allowed to wear a crown. Amalei with the Rabbanan. It's a Mishnah. The end of Saita. Bepum Mishal Aspasianis. Then when Vespasian was the general, and then they made him into the emperor. So first he was the general in the army that put siege around Jerusalem. Pulmus is a battle. Pulmus, sometimes you use it when people write attacking each other. That's also a pulmus. But if you have a real battle, a real war, that's for sure a pulmus. So when Vespasian put Yerushalayim under siege, that was the beginning of the Churban Habayis. And then the end was that they destroyed all Beis Hamikdash. So the Chachamim were Gozer Avelus before the last 40 years before the Churban Habayis. They were already Gozer Avelus, Mixus Avelus before. 40 years before the Churban Habayis, the Sanhedrin went into Golus, the Gemara says, self-imposed exile. So the Gemara says that's also considered the Tchilas Churban Habayis, because the din that the Sanhedrin has to meet in the Beis Hamikdash is a din in the Beis Hamikdash Bishlei Musa. If you no longer have the Sanhedrin meeting in the Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Hamikdash is incomplete. Not only is it din, the Sanhedrin doesn't have the din, the Kamta Balei Salamakim Alam Shamakim Garim, when the Sanhedrin meets in the Lishka Sagozes, then they have a din of Sanhedrin. Then you can have a din of Zalkan Mamre, and then you can meet that din in the Foshas all over Eretz Yisrael. Because the Supreme Court, there's a court system, and there are Sanhedrois Ketanim of Chav Gimel, and then there's Sanhedrin Gedola, the chief court. But once the Sanhedrin Gedola goes into self-imposed exile, so the whole system, the whole court system collapses, and it can't be done any din in the Foshas anywhere, and the Sanhedrin doesn't have a din of Sanhedrin. So the Sanhedrin has the din in the Lishka Sagosis, it's a din in Sanhedrin. Malam Shamakam Gam, it's a din in Beis Hamikdash also. So it's considered Tchilas Churban Habayis, 40 years before the Churban Habayis, because the Sanhedrin went into self-imposed exile. So they were ready with Gozer on certain elements of Avelus, of mourning. So what were they Gozer? Al HaTorah's Chasan, that a Chasan shouldn't wear an HaTorah. Yeah, we're not exactly sure. Let's discuss a little bit. We're not exactly sure what this corresponds to. So that's where the minig is, that when you have a wedding, the chosen shouldn't wear any expensive jewelry. This watch I got for $11 around 30 years ago in the Yerushalayim on the street. So this I'm allowed to wear under the chuppah if I get married. But when I got engaged, my in-laws bought me a $1,000 golden watch, so then I'm not allowed to wear under the chuppah. That's a very expensive thing. Really expensive jewelry. We don't know what HaTorah's Chasan is, what its equivalent is. So the minig is they don't wear any fancy jewelry under the chuppah. Al Eris also. Eris, some kind of fancy jewelry. Eris is a musical instrument. So he says, Minolan de Yosa. How do we know that the chosin is not allowed to wear fancy jewelry under the chuppah? So he says it's exerim and derabmanuin. Minolam. It only he wants to know where's the pasuk in Tanakh. So you're not going to find the pasuk in Tanakh. It's din derabbanan. When Aspasianus laid siege to Yerushalayim, then that was the beginning of the Churban Habayis. Then they made exer. So he says no, it is a pasuk. It is based on the pasuk. Adarochi kam rabuna lafnuye. He asked. The Reish Galusa asked the question of Rav Huna. So Rav Huna had to excuse himself. He had to go to the bathroom. And Rav Chisda was there. Kozman Rav Huna was there. Rav Chisda is not going to say anything in his presence. Rav Huna answered, you're not going to find the pasuk in Tanakh. It's a Gzeret de Rabban. Rav Chisda, when Rav Huna left, so Rav Chisda said, It is a pasuk. Kol ma'arsha alekim haser ha-mitzneves v'arim ha-torah. Zos lo zos. Yeah. So what does it say? Haser ha-mitzneves v'arim ha-torah. V'chei ma'enye mitzneves eitzel ha-torah. Mitzneves is one of the big dekuna. That's the hat that the kohen gadol, the kohen edyot, they wear. Sometimes it's called mitznefes, sometimes called mikbas. It's a question, is it the same? Or are they two different begodim? Was the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol different from the mitznefes of the Kohen Edyot? So Tosfos in Sukkah has one opinion, the beginning of Sukkah. Tosfos suggests maybe it was different, because it says the Kohen Gadol had to wear the tzitz, haya mitzchah tamid. So the Tarmunkulus writes on mitzchah, beinei nohi. What do you mean, beinei nohi? So by tefillin it says, "Oyer tetavis beinenecha." Beinenecha doesn't mean you put the tefillin here and you put it over here. So Tosfos raises a possibility. Maybe the tzitz, they're not sure. Was the tzitz on mitzchah over here? Was the tzitz beinenohi, according to the Targum? Maybe the tzitz was over here. And then the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol wore tefillin shel rosh. Couldn't wear tefillin shel yad because it'll be a chatzitza. Can't put the tefillin on top of the big lekuna. Can't put it under. Because the din of chatzitza, the big lekuna, have to be touching the body, and the tefillin have to be touching the body. So tefillin shel yad, the kohanim couldn't wear in the Beis Hamikdash because it would be a chatzitza. But tefillin shel rosh they could wear. So the tefillin shel rosh has to be over here. And then they had, then according to that one opinion in Tosfos, the tzitz was also on the hair. They didn't know he means over here. So the kohen gadol. The Kohen Gadol's yarmulke had to be smaller than that of the Kohen Edyot. The Kohen Edyot only had tefillin shel rosh, so his yarmulke was bigger. And the Kohen Gadol's yarmulke had to be smaller because he had not only tefillin shel rosh, he had the tzitz also over there. Sairo haya, that's what the Gemara says. Sairo haya neir bein tzitz l'mitznefesh shesham haya meniach tefillin. There would be first the tzitz would be here, then the seir would be here, the tefillin shel rosh, then the mitznefesh would be further back. So the Kohen Gadol's mitznefes would be smaller than that of the Kohen Gadol, of the Kohen Edyot. That's one opinion of Tosfos. The Pope's yarmulke is smaller than that of the other galochim, or bigger, the same size. Anyway, Bayas Tosfos has this one suggestion. Maybe the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol is smaller than that of the Kohen Edyot. Anyway, so he says, this is a pasuk. Hasera mitznefes harem ha'atorah. When there's no Kohen Gadol, after the Churban HaBayis, when there's no Kohen Gadol wearing a mitznefes, then the chasanim are not allowed to wear an ator. Ator is chasanim. If it's an expensive, fancy piece of jute, not allowed to. Ma'anyim mitznefes eitzel ator alalama, but mancha mitznefes rosh Kohen Gadol, ator rosh kalod, and stalk mitznefes rosh Kohen Gadol, stalk ator rosh kalod. Okay. I better stop here. Okay. Tomorrow, I think, we'll try for a normal day, or else I'll find out something new. Tonight. I didn't know till last night that I had to give a short shift. Okay? Try to finish the Gemara by then.
Thank you, Rabbi. Okay.